You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
You know, if there was ever time for me to drop a fucking F-bomb, it's right about now.
The internet is messed up.
Can't do it.
So a lot has happened since the last time we released an episode.
It's beginning to look a lot like madness.
Everywhere you look.
Yeah.
I think that's the most musical I've ever been at any time in my 40 years on this planet.
I'm so, like, thinking about actually turning that into a song.
You should.
And I don't like to sing, and that's the funny part, is I would sing it because I think it's funny. Oh, my goodness. So where do we start?
Let's start with something
pain,
to keep...
Pain or happiness?
It could be a bit of both. Let's start with the same trend that we've been going with the last few episodes, streaming.
Oh, the good part or the bad part?
For me, it's more the bad part because it makes no damn sense. Okay, so I have been using Netflix and Hulu. Those are the main two subscriptions that I pay for on a regular basis since, I want to say, 2010, 2011. So it's been a while. It might be a few years. It might be 2011, 2012. I don't know. I'm not looking at when Netflix went to streaming or when Hulu, whatever. But the point is, I pay the main two-screen subscription for Netflix, and I pay the $11.99 a month for Hulu. Both of these options are no ads. Yes, Netflix has the little previews of the show things, but it's not an actual ad. It's a rolling trailer of that show kind of thing. And I would be more than willing to pay for ad-free app service. More than willing to. Sadly, most of them are tied into cable companies or cable subscription packages, like insert IDGo, TLCGo, whatever Go app you can think of. It's tied to either Comcast or Spectrum or whatever. Anyway, but apparently everybody has to have their own app, and NBC Universal now has theirs. It's peacocking all over the TV. So the Peacock TV app launched as of this recording today, July 15th, 2020. We as Comcast / Xfinity Flex users have had it for a couple of months now on our TV. Very rarely do I use it, but it's been included with our cable package. I would love to be able to do this for, you know, the ad-free version of it, but even then they say it sucks. So on the – it doesn't suck, but on the Peacock TV app website, there are frequently asked questions, as there always are. Are there other plan options? Yes. In addition to Peacock, our free plan, we also have Peacock Premium and Peacock Premium Plus. You can upgrade to Peacock Premium for $4.99 a month to unlock even more content, and then to Peacock Premium Plus for an additional $5 a month to watch without ads. Please note, due to streaming rights, a small amount of programming will still contain ads, Peacock channels, events, and a limited number of shows and movies. If you want me to pay you, let's say $9.99 a month for supposed ad-free, I don't want potential small amount of programming carrying ads. If I'm paying for a service for ad-free streaming, there better not be any damn ads on it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't particularly like that idea.
It's a great, I'm not saying that it's not great that NBC has that service now. I'm just worried about now that they do, what's going to happen to all their streaming right things that are on other things. Like The Blacklist is still on Netflix, to my knowledge. Well, I've been waiting for the seventh season to show up on Netflix. Well, now that they have Peacock, why would they put it on Netflix? They're just going to put the whole show on Peacock.
Well, the other alternative is this could be a thing where Netflix pays NBC for the rights to get it.
That could be, and that would be cool.
And then they would be on both.
Right, exactly.
Kind of like Star Trek. It's on Netflix, it's on Hulu, it's on Amazon, and it's on CBS All Access. So no matter what platform you're on, you can get Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see this being a hindrance necessarily. However, I do know that Comcast owns NBC Universal.
Right.
So that leaves to wonder what they're going to have on this service. For instance, you know, their service is a little interesting because they do show a like trailer of it when you load inside the application. They have where you can add it to a watch list. You can watch it now. You can tell us who's in it, the little information about the genre, the year, the rating, the length. And then it has the tomato meter and then whatever the popcorn thing is. I think it's the whole tomato meter. And then they have an option to mute it, and then they show other things. I like the idea behind it, but I don't necessarily... I don't know how much I'll care, I guess, is kind of the way... I mean, I have Netflix and Hulu and Tubi, and I honestly don't subscribe to any of these services for their original content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally none of them are original content to me. It's merely to go back and watch the nostalgia. Now, I get that they have to have the new stuff in order to get people interested.
Right.
But the same token, I just don't know... There's going to come a point, and I like the fact that it's free and that they have, yes, it has ads, and that's to be expected to pay for it. The other issue I see is at some point there's going to be way, way too many of these services, and people are just going to kind of trickle between them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I preferred almost the Netflix, the Hulu, the Amazon, is kind of the big three, more so because you had a central hub for a mishmash of things, which this is basically turned into that thing that I complained about all those years ago about having an a la carte, where you get to pick what you want to watch, you know, pick the channels that you watch. And that's great, except for the fact that they cost anywhere between $5 and $13 a month a piece. And then you add that to the general cost of just cable, and then add it on top of your internet bill, and you're paying as much as you were for cable television. Granted, you do have access to a much larger library, but it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. So here's my... thing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I subscribe to certain services like Netflix and Hulu are always going to be in my subscriptions. That's never going to change. As long as there's still things on there that I can watch, kind of thing. But like Disney Plus, I just added that back to my subscription roundtable because there's stuff on Disney Plus that I want to see or that in the future we want to be able to podcast about. And that's where those like are. Sadly, one of our only failed podcasts at this point, Podcaster Meets World. You know, we want to eventually get back to doing that. kind of a thing. Here's my problem with right now with Peacock. I'm looking through television shows. I'm looking through A to Z. They have Johnny Carson. Absolutely love it. Great. They have, you know, they have a lot of the Oxygen stuff. Because, again, as we said, this is NBC Universal. This is Comcast. So they're going to have what all their networks have, like In Ice Cold Blood, which is a true crime show on Oxygen hosted by Ice-T. I actually enjoy that show. They have Hunter on here, the old series Hunter. They have almost every spinoff of the Kardashians, yet they don't have the original Knight Rider on here, but they have Airwolf. I don't understand that. Because I know that they own certain things now that might have aired on other networks, like something from CBS is on Peacock, because that's, you know, NBC owns the whatever. It just, I don't know. It's just crazy. The whole streaming thing, like you said, a la carte is crazy because, like, there's so many options to go to. There's Boomerang, there's Disney Plus, there's this, there's that. And choice is great. Having the choices is amazing. Paying for all of them is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like the option at this, but at the same time, I just feel like we're inundated with too many.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't seem like it's going to stop.
Nope.
I don't know. I wish that we had an easier way of going about it, but again, like, I just don't see it. I guess, you know, for today's clientele, it's great, it's fine, whatever. But ultimately, like, I just don't find value in any of this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Now, what's funny is they do tell you how many days are left to watch it when you click on a movie.
That's cool.
So, like, The Parenthood with Steve Martin, 1989 movie, mm-hmm. It says 16 days left to watch, because I'm just kind of glancing through it as we talk. But overall, like, I don't particularly care for their interface, although it is nice to not have a bombardment of a video pop up right when you load up. Like Netflix.
Yeah.
They allow you to browse, but they also have like this channels feature, which allows you to see like live TV.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks like you can actually watch you can actually watch live television.
Yeah.
So like NBC cool. News Now and some of the other stuff, like, you know, they have like Saturday Night Live Vault, and you can toggle between them. Yep. Through these different channels, which again is nice.
Yeah, that is very cool. Perfect example of a show that they own that was on a different network. Two and a Half Men was a CBS show, but because Universal, I guess, owned that show, they can have it on here, and they have, let's see, how many seasons? They have all 12 seasons, but you can only watch it with premium.
Yep. Which, that's the case with a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, an Unsolved Mysteries channel. But, yeah, I mean, it's okay, like, but I don't know if I fully see the value in it right now.
Yeah, I mean, not saying we're never going to do this, and I seriously doubt it would be you that did this with me, but if I ever did a Law & Order podcast, I would put my Disney Plus subscription on hold for a while and subscribe to Peacock in order to get all the seasons of Law and Order, kind of thing.
So, speaking of other unnecessary things,
there's been a lot this week.
Yes, there have. Disney Plus is rebooting Home Alone with a lot of Saturday Night Live alumni. I've seen the images in the cast, like the DizInsider.com has it. Mm-hmm. they're having Archie Yates from Jojo Rabbit, whatever that is, play Max, which is, I'm guessing, the kid. And then they're going to have, they're going to have, I'm not really sure how they're going to do this. There's possibility they may have Macaulay Culkin guest star somewhere in it, like just for cameo purposes or whatever, but it's primarily a SNL veteran like Mikey Day and Streeter and Seidel writing the script. I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess whatever, they've got to reboot it for a new generation, but whatever. Another unnecessary sequel reboot. And then, so we've had two kind of sucky things happen in Hollywood deaths this week. We had Grant Imahara from Mythbusters and, you know, the Star Trek continues, pass away due to a brain aneurysm.
Yep.
Of all things to go from, like, at the age of 49, like, he, super intelligent dude, worked on, like, all kinds of pop culture things, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He did all kinds of stuff and then dies of a brain aneurysm. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he did animatronics for the Matrix movies, Galaxy Quest, Van Helsing, The Lost World, Terminator 3, and Star Wars stuff, and he did all the Mythbusters and White Rabbit Project on Netflix, and to go out like that, it just kind of sucks.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, going from brain aneurysms to breast cancer, we lost Kelly Preston, John Travolta's wife. Now, Kelly Preston, I've known her since before she was Travolta's wife, or maybe she already was. That's the fact that she's married to John Travolta really had nothing to do with why I knew her.
Yeah,
she was Avery in Jerry Maguire, the bitchy girlfriend of Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire at first. And she was Gabby, the wife of Michael Keaton's snowman character in 1998's Jack Frost. And she's done other things as well, but those are the two main films that I know her from.
Yeah, and I knew her from those two. It's, yeah, I don't know. It was, it's I don't know. And then she died of breast cancer, which that's horrible.
Yep. Yeah.
The thing that boggles my mind is we have so much money to throw towards, like, politics and, like, stupid stuff. And there's nothing, like, I mean, I get that they're constantly working on trying to figure out how to cure cancer and all this other stuff. But they would probably actually succeed if we could stop wasting time and money on arguing over stupid stuff. Like, if you look at social media, like, that's all we argue about. It's always something, and granted, there's some things that have merit, but the way people go about it isn't intelligent conversation. It's just, you said something that offended me, I'm going to attack you.
Yeah, and that's not...
I wish that we could put those resources and those attacks towards, like, these companies that have the capability... And kind of push them into, you know, I mean, look at how much people are pushing, you know, for stuff for COVID related things or, you know, and I'm not saying that these are, you know, I'm not going to get into the race issue either, but I look at how much people are pushing towards that. Cancer's just, it affects all humankind. Doesn't matter what race you are. And people die of it all the time. And it's unfortunate that that has to happen. I just wish that we could see a lot of resources go there instead of more money in politicians' pockets.
Yeah, it's...
so much loss of life just due to something that shouldn't exist. So...
Yeah, it's all kinds of crazy, and it just... It's so sad. Like, okay, so last year, for those of you one people listening to this podcast, I decided to do something I had never done before. I decided to attempt to write a blog a day for the entire year of 2019. So one written entry could be on anything. It didn't matter what it was. Whatever it was that I felt, as soon as I woke up, I would start writing. I didn't make it through the whole year, but I made it through the first, I think, 83 days. I made it through the first 83 days, and I made it sporadically to day 269, I think. My point is that at one point during this, I think it was day 5 or day 6, I had written about depression and how that affects me and whatever else. And now that COVID hits, I feel like I need to rewrite it or write a new version of it, because there's just so much thing. Like, say what you will about sports, say what you will about concerts, say what you will about whatever. Everything is essentially canceled. And I'm not talking about cancel culture at all. I'm just saying things are postponed, things are moved on, because we now live in the age of COVID. And how can you be 6 feet apart from somebody at a concert when the venue only holds X number of people? You have to cut back how many people you can let in, which means if, let's say, for example, 5,000 people buy tickets to see Nickelback. I know it would be more than that, but let's just say the arena holds 3,000. And because of COVID, they're only going to let 2,000 in. Well, that leaves all the other people, you know, out in the cold with having to get refunds and not being able to see their favorite Canadian band, which is Nickelback. You know what I mean? It's like that whole argument now that they're having about the school. And I'm not a parent. You are. I'm not. I want to make that very clear. Just because I don't have children, though, doesn't mean I don't have any less of a valid opinion on the fact of whether schools should open up for in-person classroom time or not. If the schools can't do it right, they shouldn't open. If they can't do it for safety for everyone involved, then no, they shouldn't do it. But anyway, point in bringing all of this up is this world is even more depressing than it was when I wrote that post last year.
No, I agree with you. I don't know. So I guess we should go to some things that aren't depressing.
We should try.
Yeah, Batman's Animated Adventures.
Yes.
I've been rather enjoying this comic series, because not only is it continuing the animated series where it left off, with the same art style and the same type of interest there. But what I've really been enjoying is the fact that they've been making new toys.
Yes, they have.
And they're making characters that they're making characters that people would actually want. So like the Azrael version of Batman that was previously in the Nightfall comics, they brought him to the DCAU. And like the basic questions they're asking with the series that they're making is what happened after the show ended. All these characters that had been created, like Deathstroke, Red Hood, and you know, all these other ones, it says this would be a cool way to continue the line and really create something fans would want to own. And so they have Deathstroke in the comic. They have the Red Hood. They're bringing some of the Dark Knight Returns with a DCAU flair to it. I don't know. I've really been enjoying this different take and the fact that they're kind of, and you have Paul Dini and
Alan Burnett
and Ty Templeton. And it's just, it's so wonderfully done. And now that we're in this age of the DC collector's stuff where they can come out with these, almost 10 inch figures, that are fully articulated and detailed, much like their DCAU counterpart. It's really awesome to see that.
Yeah, it is.
And I really like the the Batman the Animated Series new Batman figure. Like, honestly, I would probably get it. I think that actually they're 6 inches tall, yep, which again is not terrible. It's relatively nicely cost too for the comics. They're just 99 cents.
Yep.
Which makes it super easy for wanting to subscribe. But DC Direct has done a bang up job on these figures, and honestly, I look forward to seeing what else they bring in from Batman's universe into the DCAU.
Absolutely. Yeah, the figures look great. I think it's super cool that they're doing it. The eighth chapter has not released yet, but so far they've done, we've done an episode of the Pullbag covering the first two issues, and they have a 4-issue arc from chapters 3 to 6 that takes place, and then chapter 7 and 8 and whatever else beyond that are the next arc. And it's really fun looking at it. It's so interesting and easy. And I have to say, I'm really excited for a lot of the DC Digital First series lately. And I never thought I would be like this, because I'm really like, I need full color comics. I just always have, because that's what I've been used to, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, and I'm probably going to pronounce his name so wrong, but Stefan Sejic did a 3-issue series called Harleen. It was under the DC Black Label, and that is in a collected edition, but part of that is also black and white style. And it's a black and white style that looks gorgeous. They're doing this new Digital First series called Harley Quinn Black, White, and Red. And he does the first, I think, 1 or 2 issues. And it looks so cool. It just goes to show you again, folks, how comics can change, and how comics, especially with someone as narrow-minded as I can be at times, like, I have to have it this way, no other way. Well, artist interpretations change from place to place and from series to series and character to character, kind of thing. And I'm just really digging on these new things that they're doing, because they are so interesting. Yeah, so far there are 3 issues of Harley Quinn, Black, White, and Red. So just to give people a – and I know I'm kind of taking over the show with comics here that should be talked about on the Pullbag, but whatever. The description for the series. One of the crown jewels of the DC library is the imitable Batman Black and White. Classic short tales of the Caped Crusader told purely in primal black and white ink. Unfortunately, now Harley Quinn wants in on the action, and she's got a red pen, and she has notes. In Harley Quinn Black, White, and Red, 14 tales of Gotham City's craziest clown princess are presented in nothing but black, white, and a bold splash of red. See Harley and Ivy attempt to break into Superman's Fortress of Solitude. See how Harley's story unfolds in worlds beyond the DC Universe, in the alternate timelines of Batman White Knight, Harleen, and the Harley Quinn animated series. See her at her darkest hours and in her happiest moments. See her win an underground rap battle. It's one of those things where it's kind of cool. And it's interesting because you have an art style that you wouldn't think would normally work,
mm-hmm,
but it does. And it's just so fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of enjoying some of the stuff that I've been reading for once, which has been nice. So kind of continuing on other things that are entertaining, that are not depressing, because we all know there's lots of that out there. Well, this is kind of, I could take it or leave it, but we'll see how this goes. They're making a modern day reboot of Fletch with John Hamm, which I was a fan of the originals with Chevy Chase, but, they were made in the '80s and it's based on the Gregory McDonald's 1970s and 80s Fletch mystery novels. But I would be curious to see how he's able to pull it off. Just because Chevy Chase has that specific type of comedic timing and the delivering of his lines. So, I would be interested to see how it goes. I can't really judge it until it comes out. Cause like, I'm not too familiar with John Hamm. I know that he's done a lot of other like diverse roles, but I don't necessarily think everything needs a reboot.
True.
I mean, we talk about that in a future episode of Studio 2009.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
If it doesn't, they won't make another one.
Exactly.
Let's see what else. Oh, I've been writing, I've been trying to write anyway in a, Star Trek RPG. I'm still in the early stages of that, but, the other exciting thing is next week, Comic-Con at home.
That's right.
Which that I'm super excited for, actually, because even if there's nothing from Marvel or Lucasfilm or any of the, you know, these big areas, it's cool that for the first time everyone will be able to attend San Diego Comic-Con. It's the first time in 50 years that it's not taken place physically, but to see it go virtual, I'm ecstatic because this will be the first time and only time I will be able to see Comic-Con. I know there's like a huge Star Trek panel that's got a lot of the stuff for that. That's going to kind of play out, which that I'm very interested in just because I want to see what direction they're going with everything. Lower expectations, I'm not looking forward to.
You mean lower decks?
It's lowered expectations. That's what I'm calling it. that Matthew Kadish actually called it that at one point, which I thought was kind of conveniently correct. I'm probably going to check it out to see how stupid it is, but I don't foresee myself watching it at all. Even though it takes place in universe, I don't like, I can only stomach so much stupid that's written into Star Trek in modern day. And Discovery and Picard have enough of that in their plot holes, and their bad writing and how it comes out at the end of the episodes. Again, I can't stomach it in an animated series. Like, I wish that they could just, what's sad is I think the Nickelodeon, the Nick Jr. or Nickelodeon kids, series that's going to come out, I have higher expectations for that than I do this.
Yeah.
And I would probably actually watch it because it'll be clean. This is going to be, I have a feeling, yes, they're going to talk about the menial jobs on a starship. But the whole series just is kind of laziness rolled into it. Even the starship is like a recycled parts of the Enterprise D. So So yeah, I honestly just don't care. I'm looking forward to the information that's going to drop about Picard season 2, Discovery season 3, of what they're going to do with it.
Right.
And Strange New Worlds with Captain Pike. Honestly, yep. Beyond that, I don't care. I do look forward to seeing what else, though, comes out of this Comic-Con at home, just because I'm not sure, and I don't know how it's going to play out, and what exactly they're going to have involved, but it's definitely going to be something fun to check out for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with everybody being caged at home.
Mm-hmm. And we have more awesome things as well. Because not only do we have San Diego Comic-Con at home, this news actually came out on your birthday this year. Starting today, though, July 15th through September 9th, it's free comic book summer. Obviously, due to COVID-19... Free Comic Book Day, which is normally the first Saturday in May, could not have happened. Well, they are turning it into Free Comic Book Summer.
So what does that mean?
The beloved event has been rescheduled and reworked to take place throughout July and early September in order to accommodate social distancing and store capacity regulations across the country, effectively make it Free Comic Book Summer. Scheduled to take place between today, July 15th, and September 9th, comic shops will receive 5 to 6 free comic book day titles in their weekly shipments during each week of the promotional window. Release of these titles may vary from shop to shop, as retailers are encouraged to release the books as they see fit for their unique circumstances. Retailers may release one free title a day, may make all of that week's free titles available at once, or any other plan that works for them. Free Comic Book Summer is designed to be flexible and customizable so retailers and fans can get the most out of the event. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I'm happy about a lot of the things that are basically coming out that are for the fans. And honestly, this is great to have mm-hmm. it available. There was one other thing I was going to bring up. Aside from the fact that I'm tired of videos auto-playing on all websites, I've had to reinstall an HTML5 blocker.
Why did you start sounding British there for a second?
Because I was doing it earlier when I was reading books to my kids.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I gotta do like a thing for kids soon mm-hmm. at church, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Because it's like 2 weeks away. So I'm like, basically, I'm going to use character voices and I'm going to read something because it's easier on me and I don't have to look at people. So it works great. So I used it out on my kids and they thought it was hilarious and they're like, yes, do it. And I'm like, do the voices suck? And they're like, no, keep doing it. So I have a built-in audience that can tell me if I'm horrible or not. So the other thing is, and these things are just quite humorous, to be honest, this is my dialogue about it. I said, this is utterly stupid, to be honest. Yes, I used a pun, but at the same time, if this is legit, part of the problem is the massive amount of beef eaten due to fast food and event eating. Maybe stop eating so much of it. Burger King becomes a leader in fart prevention technology. I wish I could make up this title. They literally created a music video about the cow menu. And it's, they're like, cow farts are one of the biggest threats to the future of humanity. The livestock industry is directly responsible for around a quarter of climate change since the beginning of the industrial age. 65% of those cattle whose flatulence is full of methane and
greenhouse gas, 34 times stronger than carbon dioxide. And let's not forget about the burps.
So they're going to come up with a special stomach bacteria.
No.
Or they say that they have a special stomach bacteria that ferments their diet. So they're like, it becomes even gassier. So it says when they eat corn or soy, they become gassier. So what happens if you let them just, I don't know, eat grass, what they were designed to do? It's because they mass produce these things so much. It says if you'd prefer not to do a deep dive into it, it's Burger King made this delightful video to explain it. Of the impending climate apocalypse, which honestly is a joke. I'm not saying that climates don't change because things do happen. They're partnering now. Burger King's not really been relevant. They've been kind of flailing for the last couple of years anyway, so this is humorous to me to begin with. It says, but they've partnered with top scientists to develop and test a new diet for cows, which, why don't you just have them eat grass? Stop feeding them soy and corn where they can't digest it. That's why they keep farting so much. If I would have told this to my kids, they would have been laughing hysterically. But they're saying that their study is that they're going to reduce their daily emissions by 33%. Part of the problem is, maybe they should just stop building so many fast food places. Like, I'm not saying that they aren't great in a pinch, but most people just rely on it for general eating.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to jump in, folks. I was born, literally, I wish I had a picture of it, but I remember this clearly. I was born with an Oreo cookie in one side of my mouth and an ice cream sandwich in the other side of my mouth. For most of my life, my brainwaves have been salty, sweet, salty, sweet. Yes, my mom cooked great meals. Yes, we had fried chicken. We had mashed potatoes. We had American chop suey, if anyone out there even knows what that is. We had spaghetti. We had all the healthy stuff in the world. And yes, I did have healthy snacks at times, too. However, now that I'm a 40-year-old adult who is obese as all hell, and I've been disabled all my life, I'm sorry. Like, this perfect example is the rant I went on yesterday or the other day on Facebook. The local post office is a 9-minute walk from my door to its door. It took me an hour. I'm 6 foot, 400 and something pounds. I walk all the time. Ever since we moved out here to the Pacific Northwest, I've been walking more in the last 6, 7, 8, 9 months, almost a year and a half now. We haven't been here a year and a half, but in the last year and a half, I've been walking more than I ever have in my life. But that walk nearly killed me. So yeah, on the way home, I stopped in to Subway to get a couple of their sliders that they have. Or like right now in our apartment out here in the Pacific Northwest, folks, apparently nobody believes in central air conditioning at all. It's a miracle if you find anywhere to live out here in Oregon or Washington State that has central air. So we have to use portable units because the apartments don't let you put in window units, and window units would be noisier than the portable units already are. We have one portable unit right now, and it's helping my wife get her through these trying times. Meanwhile, I'm sweating like a stuffed pig over here.
Yeah, and I'm not saying anything.
No. But my point in saying all of that is to say this. I am not like our apartment. If you took a temperature out in my room or out in our living room, it would probably say it's somewhere between 70 and 80 degrees in here. Why the hell would I turn on a 400-degree oven to cook a pizza versus calling Domino's or whatever? Insert whatever restaurant. Domino's did not pay for me saying that at all. I wish they did.
I do like Domino's, by the way.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up.
Domino's is delicious.
That's right. And healthy, too, because you can put all kinds of vegetables on the pizza.
Yes, you can. Anyways, I'm not saying anything against people that are eating it. I'm just saying that part of the problem is we're consuming beef at such an exponential rate.
Yeah.
That we're creating the problem by making these cows have to eat so much that they cannot keep up with the way to feed them. And so the cheap way of doing it is by feeding them corn and soy, which they cannot digest, which is 90% of the problem. And that's why there's such a big deal over having them fed grass, because those ones are the ones that can actually digest it and they do not have the issue. So it's, again, it's these mass feedlots where they stuff corn and antibiotics into these cows. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. But I'd much rather eat grass along with the cows.
It's healthier. And honest, I don't want a cow farting on my food. I don't want gassy cow. It's just over. I don't want gassy cow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's funny to me. My family doesn't eat beef. We eat poultry, like, and fish. Like, we just don't eat the other kinds. Not that I won't eat a hamburger. I have, and I probably would again, if depending on where I go. But I don't. It's not one of those things where I have to have one. there's other foods I'll eat. So it's. I like a good salad every now and again, loaded with all kinds of stuff on it, not just, you know, lettuce. I think it's kind of humorous that this is a thing. I remember years ago we kind of covered the Beyond Burger and the Impossible Burger, you know, the meat replacement stuff, and they're good. They're not meat replacement good, but they are good. And they're a lot better than those like Boca burgers or some of that other stuff that they have, some of that weird fake meat. Those two at least bleed like real meat.
Right.
And actually, it's not even blood. It's like a chemical that they put in it to kind of keep it so that when they freeze it, it doesn't destroy the meat. It's not actually blood. It just sucks the... It sucks the blood out with it a little bit. That's why it comes out colored, but it's not actually the blood. But regardless, it's funny to me that, yeah. So
it's just crazy, and we all have different eating habits and whatever else. It depends on how we were raised. And yes, people can and do change and everything else. But for me personally, if I'm craving a burger, I want a real burger. I don't want a turkey burger or a chicken burger. If I wanted a turkey burger or a chicken burger, I'd have a chicken sandwich or a turkey sandwich.
I don't know.
Every time, because things are more expensive out here compared to Illinois and other places east of the Mississippi. Every time Karen has bought like ground turkey to use with Hamburger Helper, at first I was like, that's not how that's supposed to work. But I tried it and I'm like, oh, it's just like Thanksgiving, except on a nightly basis. Because you're putting turkey in the Hamburger Helper instead of the actual hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
It is very good. It's very delicious. I enjoy it. But I'm like, it's Thanksgiving every day of the year. It's Groundhog Thanksgiving.
No. So getting over to something else that is kind of quasi good, bad, depending on how you look at it. NPR radio ratings collapse as pandemic ends listeners commutes. Which I was wondering how this was going to play out. Because I knew NPR is like a juggernaut in the radio podcast space. Especially with the amount of money that they pump into it. It says that their broadcast ratings for nearly all of NPR's radio shows took a deep dive in major markets this spring as the coronavirus kept many Americans from commuting. Says the network shows lost roughly a quarter of their audience between the second quarter of 2019 and the same months in 2020. people who listen to NPR shows on the radio at home before the pandemic by and large still do, but many of those who listen on their commute have not rejoined from home. And that threatens to alter the terrain for NPR, as they've anticipated that these changes would happen. And they expected them to take place over the next decade. And one of my coworkers used to work in public radio, or not public radio, but news broadcast. And he said that they anticipated that within the next 10 to 20 years, working remotely and changing the norm for media consumption.
Right.
Would happen. It's just that they didn't expect that a virus would kick it into high gear and make it happen at
sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So they weren't totally ready for it, but they kind of knew it was coming, so they were a little bit more prepared. But they're saying that audience research shows that their audience is disproportionately made up of professionals who are able to work from home and who are interested in doing so even after the pandemic subsides. Like myself and a lot of the people I work with, most of us would prefer to work from home. We feel more, I honestly feel more able to get work done. And not saying to like some degree, like, because there's sometimes
interruptions happen.
Yeah, and that's to be. That's to be expected. But I, at the same time, I don't have that hour long commute a day. I don't have like the half hour there, half hour back, and then traffic that I have to deal with. I don't have weather getting in the way. I don't have to like spend the first 15 minutes I'm there setting all my crap up again.
Exactly.
And then 15 minutes tearing it down at the end of the day. Cause I just honestly just leave it. I have a USB hub that a switcher. It's it's actually an HDMI switcher. I bought it years ago when I was, when I had Xbox 360, I had the PlayStation 2, I had the Nintendo Wii, I had, you know, all these different, devices, and I had a TV that had a bunch of ports on the back. And a Blu-ray player and a computer and everything else. So I had to have this thing. And so then after I got rid of everything and I just had the Blu-ray player and two ports in the back, I didn't need it anymore. So I threw it in a box. And then after this happened, I was like, hey, I have a monitor that has HDMI. And so I hook up my work computer to it when I'm working. And then I just select the correct screen so that it goes to the right machine. And I have both computers on. So that I can do graphical needs or like any other stuff that I can do faster on my Windows machine, I can do there. And then I send it to myself over Slack, download it, and then I have it over on the other computer within seconds. And so it's just nice, I don't know, to have that option. But I feel like I get a lot more done. Plus, I get to eat with my family, which is great. And if I need to take a break in the middle of the day to go take care of something, I can, and then I can come back later in the night, which I've been known to do that. But honestly, I would prefer to work from home even after this is all done, other than production times.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. Working from home is much better. Now, me personally, I don't have a job because I have zero qualifications to get paid for anything other than being an idiot. And sadly, nobody's paying me to be unintelligible. Heck, not even the you-know-who is... Anyway. It's one of those things where if I have to call some... Like, okay, perfect example is every month I have to call Pods to make payments because that's how I have it set up. So our storage units that we're paying for, I have to call them and I have to talk to them, which is fine. I don't mind talking to people. Whatever. Well, now that we're doing this whole work from home thing, especially in the beginning when everybody was quarantined, even though most people still are, it's a clear difference from people working at home compared to when they were working at an actual office building, because you can hear things in the back. And I don't care. I don't care if I can hear your kid crying or your cat crying or whatever.
Well, my cat, it's the joke of the our Zoom meetings now. My cat sits on my lap. Whenever there's a Zoom meeting, my cat will jump up on my lap during the meeting. They're like, where's Kitty? And then, like, all of a sudden she'll stand up and she'll try and pet my face and then people start grinning. And then I push her down. I'm like, go away. And then there'll be something that'll happen and she'll start talking. Like yesterday we had a meeting and my boss is in the meeting. Like the head boss, like the main manager. And he's like, what was it he said? Give me a second. But yeah, I mean, it's humorous though, because like now when I go into a meeting, they're like, where's your cat? Cause like they know that the cat shows up during meetings and, so here it is. Cause I sent this to my boss yesterday. So I screen capped the meeting, because humorous stuff is humorous. And the main manager, he goes, dude, white cat in a chair make you a super villain. And I says, yeah, it does, doesn't it? I says, she's my meeting cat. Whenever I'm in one, she has to be here. And he puts LOL. So at the end of the meeting, just to kind of mess with everybody, I says, by the way, I says, I'm not a super villain. And then they're like, what? And he says, you look like that. He says, what's that character? And because like my chair and everything, he's like, he says the bad guy from Inspector Gadget. And I was like, and I, cause I haven't used my Dr. Claw in a long time and I thought it would be hilarious. And so I'd used it on point. So my cat's sitting on my lap and I'm, you know, have my hand on her and everything. And she's going, and I go, next time, Gadget. And then they all started just laughing hysterically, like everybody in the meeting. It was a great way to end a meeting, by the way, but they're like, oh, that was Steve impromptu. That was great. So yeah, it was, like I said, it was a lot of fun having that aspect. And people just kind of expect it at this point. Like I'll see other people's kids run through the background or, you know, somebody will be like randomly like, I'll be right back. Cause like you'll have back to back meetings. Sometimes you're like, I gotta pee. And then they'll just like disappear or something. Or I had too much to drink. And then they'll go away and like come back like 5 seconds later. But I don't know. It's just, it's humorous either way. Like I prefer it, but, kind of going back to, NPR from this tangent, they're saying that, due to the plunge in radio listenership, their other digital platforms like their website and their podcast downloads. It says their podcast downloads and the usage of NPR's listening apps are up nearly a quarter, and there's a 76% increase in users on NPR.org because of this. So basically what it's alluding to is people aren't listening to it on the radio, but they're tuning in on their computers and letting it run while they're working. So, and honestly, like sometimes I'll listen to a webinar on my computer, like I'll turn on the sound, and when I have nothing to listen to, like once in a while I'll turn on a webinar, put my headphones on, and then just work. And I'll pick up some useful tidbits, because usually it's about podcasting or voice acting or something, and then and then I'll go back to, you know, normal operation, you know, while I'm listening. And it's just, I don't know, it's kind of nice in that aspect. Plus I'm sitting in my own environment, so it's very comfortable. And the only other thing I don't like right now, like I didn't mind necessarily going into work. The other thing I don't care for right now specifically is when you're going to an office and then you have to disinfect your area. You have to wear a mask whenever you're not in your cubicle. You have to clean the bathroom when you go to the bathroom. You have to clean the kitchen if you have to heat up your food. And so honestly, it's just, it's too tedious. Yeah. And I get the protocol. I get it. I understand it. And I have no issue following directions. Like, that's not my issue at all. I just don't, like, if I'm going to have to go to all that extra work, I might as well stay home.
Yeah, exactly.
And just live in my own ecosystem that I can do as I please. And it affects no one but my household.
Yep.
Yes, I don't leave the house, which is kind of a double-edged sword, but I used to work from home like for 18 months when I worked for the Blaze, and it wasn't that bad.
Nope.
So, but I think that about rounds everything up. Like, so I guess the questions to the listeners are, how has the pandemic affected their podcast listening? How has it affected, you know, their pop culture consumption, whether it be through streaming or television or the websites or just things like that in general. Because I know that it's affected a grand scheme of things all over the place. And I know that things are starting to somewhat go back to normal as people are going back to work a little bit. But yeah, I'd be curious to know how it's affecting everyone.
Absolutely. And that can be the topic for the next episode.
Yes.
Unless some sort of other earth-shattering news happens before then and we feel the need to give unintelligible opinions on it.
You mean Comic-Con at home?
Well, there's that too.
Yes. That's pretty much what the next episode's going to be. So they can expect a lowdown of that. At least for what has come out by the time we record this.
True.
Because I think it starts on like a Tuesday, so they'll have like a Tuesday and Wednesday's info, and then they'll have to wait till the following week to get the rest. And then we'll probably do like a Tuesday edition or something the following week.
Probably.
So, anyways, so we have been.
I am the great one.
I am Steve Megatron.
No.
Yes. So until next time, get altered, get geeky, with the Altered Geeks. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Imbecilic buffoon.